Let's call our meeting to order at 18:30. Everyone is here. Kurt, would you lead us on the Pledge of Allegiance?
Sure.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. All right, did everybody have a chance to look at the minutes from October 15th?
Yes.
Yep.
I propose that we approve the minutes for October 15th, 2025.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Chief Brown, firefighter recognition?
None over here.
Okay. You want to wait?
A bunch of them, but none over here.
Okay, we'll wait. Monthly status report, Chief.
Okay. Current, we're 1238. That's 111 since the last board meeting. We're average 4 calls a day. Last year on this date, it's 1222, so we're up 16. Um, 16 responses to I-80, various places along I-80. 46 medical calls, 22 MVAs, 19 canceled calls, and then 8 fire alarms. So that's kind of the breakdown, the easy breakdown. There's a lot of other, there was one building fire and one, one carbon monoxide alarm, and just, so the onesie twosie stuff. Significant events. Last Saturday, Chief Brown had a bad ATV accident, skull fracture in Skull Valley, and that turn was bad for everybody. Stansbury, we had a structure fire on Halloween, and we were 2 seconds away from that burning down, and that fire went out for I don't know why. Fire went out. It took out the kitchen cabinets. It took out the.
Was it a stove fire?
Not a stove fire. It was something on the stove that caught fire. Mm. Buck, you want to speak to that later?
Sure.
He can get that in his report.
That's great.
But we all marveled pretty much. It's like, I don't know why it went out.
Wow.
But 179 in Parachute, MVA, near fatality. 112 in Sheep Lane, MVA, fatality. That was earlier in October. Mile marker 52, me and Chief Brown had to handle that because it was a group two. That's not today. That was a couple weeks back. But we got out there. We were out there with UTTR, and the Wendover ambulance showed up, and it was their chief and their deputy. And then we thought that was kind of ironic that we all just met out at the 52. We had a couple of rail car fires, coal hoppers that were on fire. So we've had a couple of those, which was odd. And because we've had a couple now, we've kind of compiled it, and we're sending a bill to UP. But I don't know if that'll ever come out of anything will ever come out of that. Accomplishments, Halloween drive-through, we did that. This past weekend, we completed 41 out of 43 firefighters over the course of the month. Completed a physical agility test that Justin designed, and we've been really kind of pushing everybody to get that done. So we're almost through it. We had a marital workshop on the 13th last week. We've had community service workers in washing and waxing the vehicles, so they're one by one, they're getting those done. The events trailer and the ATV trailer have been labeled, so now it's not just a white box and a red box. They're now labeled with our logo and everything. Let's see, the planning that's coming, Christmas party. Kaylee will speak to that in a little while, a little more. We have Thanksgiving coming. I'm going to be gone for a week, the first week in December. I'll be teaching a wildland fire merit badge in Indiana. And then in January, we will have another. So this is a straight tip. I don't know if any of you don't get this. You can get this online. You can download it. You can look at it. It's a PDF. But they published this, the Utah Valley University and the Utah Fire Rescue Academy, they publish this every quarter. They've asked me to do a quarterly article, so every time I get to really kind of show off North Tooele, we now get to be in the magazine.
Oh, that's great. Cool.
So this is the last article, and then our next one will be all about the fitness program that we've been kind of
good.
That's great.
That's awesome.
Cool. Okay. That's it for your chief report. Any questions?
I did notice that in the coloring book, there's a North Tooele page.
Ah, sweet.
Yes.
Oh, it made it.
Yay.
Cool.
Yeah. Right. It was in the paper tonight.
The
coloring book for...
It comes with the newspaper.
Oh, okay.
And then they will... We bring him in to you guys.
That's a new thing. They came in to ask
that's
us.
That's nice.
He talked to you about it, right? Yeah. So, I mean, I thought that was something.
We thought it was pretty nice, me and my wife. So we thought that's good.
Very cool.
So apparently they color them, and
they
then they bring them to
they
us.
They bring them in, and
we judge them.
0 to 6 and 6 and above, and then you guys judge them.
Yeah.
And do we give them something when they come in?
Yeah,
I just said a $20 gift card.
I know, but that's if they win. But like, if they come in, you give them like a candy cane or a sucker.
Yeah,
or something.
Yeah. We'll do something.
That's good to know. Guys, we better get something.
Yeah, it came out today in the paper.
Oh, right. That's good to know.
Most people here don't get the Tooele paper.
No, I didn't know they still.
I read it online.
I honestly didn't even know they still did papers.
Once a week.
We should get that.
All right.
Just once a week.
Yeah.
Once a week on Wednesday.
Fire Marshal Peck, do you want to come and give your report?
Yes, sir. I'm going to keep my comments brief. I'm on here a couple more times, so I'm going to go quick.
You got to talk loud because we're.
Oh, because we're recording. So to speak to the fire on the 31st, what had happened, or we cannot deny the probability that it was a DeWalt that was set on top of the stove.
Oh.
And it went, lithium ion batteries went thermal runaway and caught the next thing on fire and the next thing on fire. It kind of went counterclockwise around, burnt the cabinets as it went around. And so we know we can rule everything else out but that drill. So.
Hmm.
The other thing I want to bring up is that, again, back to my broken record, growth is continuing. One of those things that is coming into our, or has requested to come into our district, is a warehouse of 100,000 square feet. The occupant will be TNT,
like
fireworks company.
Oh, okay.
Wow, that's exciting.
So,
they're back again.
Whereabouts are they going to do it?
So,
right in the middle of Stansbury.
It's going to be, exactly. Currently is located right in the middle of Sandy. they're looking at purchasing one of the lots in the inland port.
Oh, okay.
So by the dairy farm?
No, it's the one, it's, so
further
there's multiple
out.
Inland ports.
Down to
Higgs? The one right there off I-80.
Mm.
Oh, okay.
The Akerlo's.
Okay.
So, and then we'll speak about that more. But do you have any other questions for me?
Whatever happened to the hotel in Lake Point?
We're still
four stories, and we said three, and
we're still working on it.
Okay.
They're doing their thing. We're gonna. We need to get a ladder truck for them, and
they haven't broke ground yet.
So,
okay.
But they're still going through their process of getting all that stuff.
Okay.
Have we
Thank
been
you.
Back out to the shanty town out there on the island? I know we've been told to like not be involved, but have we been back out there recently? Antelope Island.
Stansbury.
Stansbury.
I was out there too. I work out there 2 weeks ago. They're cleaning it up.
Oh, are they?
Yes.
It's like a shanty town. It's insane.
You've
never been out there?
They've installed
Stansbury
tanks and they cleaned out a lot of those trailers and they've run off the undesirables and. Most of the fishermen now are salmon fishermen from Alaska.
Mm, okay.
You've been on the south end. That's the way
north.
That's the
north. That's way north.
End.
Yeah.
It's the north end.
North end. It's like a whole other world.
I'm happy to hear that report because they really told me.
Yeah, I remember.
Is that just barely in Tooele County or is that the
no,
whole
it's,
island?
It's still in our area. It's quite a ways in our area still, but a different company's bought out the shrimping companies.
Okay.
Both of them.
These guys are taking things real serious out there.
That's good.
So
okay, good.
Great.
I had good. That junk running by me all week.
Oh.
It was leaving. It wasn't coming back. So. But there was construction crews headed in there to go, you know, rebuild the man camps and everything over there. So
great.
Awesome. Awesome. Thanks, Bob.
Thanks. Kim?
So I'll update on funding. We're trying to get for the ladder truck. Chief Nunn will talk about CIV funding. But I told you that we were going to try to pursue, we are pursuing CMAC funding. And so I didn't ask where it was at during the federal freeze. And so I asked on Monday, and I heard back, and it says, although we have full approval to make this purchase from the state of Utah side of things, purchasing a used fire truck with CMAC funding is a bit of a unique situation. So we've been needing to get clarification from the feds on how to properly process the purchase of within the rules of the CMAC funding. Mm-hmm. So it sounds like they're okay to award us the $460,000 towards a used ladder truck, but we just need to make sure we meet the requirements through the federal funding.
That makes sense.
So that cool. would be nice to help that. On the other front of some of our funding, Safer Grant obviously was on hold. It wasn't necessarily that we couldn't do the work, it just we couldn't request the funds. So it's not that we aren't going to get paid for our work that we did during that time. We just couldn't, like everybody else, couldn't get paid.
Right.
So we're still following through with the Community Wildfire Defense Grant. We are still working on the Mental Health and Wellness Grant. We have like $40,000 left from that. We're updating policies on mental health. And so you guys will see some results from that. Chief updated you that we put stickers on the trailer, the enclosed trailers, and so that's awesome that we got that. Again, we got a second outdoor rec grant, and so that one is for 2 radios and 2 electric bikes. And so I think we'll wait until January to get those, just with everything going on. And then just update on the CIB funding. I don't know if Mark of the Rural Help Grant.
Oh, yeah, I can speak to it.
Okay,
so it got submitted by DHHS, and we'll find out the results at the end of December.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's going to look like, but we were heavily involved. The biggest things were training and education, innovation, which could be like electronics or anything, you know, whatever. And then community paramedicine type stuff.
So
mobile integrated health. Yep.
That's what we kind of applied under, and
yep.
So we applied for $2,025,000.
Yeah. So I'm assuming what's going to happen is they're going to issue the funding to DHHS. DHHS is going to come back to us and say, okay, this is what we can. Now we got to work on applications and how we're going to approve that. Yeah. And so we'll be sending out information.
Yeah. So his name's Mark, isn't it? That's over.
Mark Watterson.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're working close with him.
Yeah, I've worked with him in my prior job.
Oh, perfect.
And so when he was with American Heart Association, so
yeah.
We worked with legislation on some things. So anyway,
yeah.
Kind of fun to reconnect with him.
Yeah, yeah, he's been great. I've been on working with him.
Good
yeah.
guy to work with.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
Here's my update.
Awesome.
Thank you.
All right. It's our first chance for public comment. Do you have any public comment? Anybody online?
No.
Okay.
I have one quick thing for everybody. Chief Griffith is retiring from Teed, so they have asked for a patch, but once again he was here with it in the county, and then we also have a badge, so
nice.
Is anybody having issues with me issuing that to them?
Of course not.
Because you all worked with Chief Griffith.
He is Wildland. Yeah.
Just Wildland? Okay.
He did other stuff too, didn't he, Scott? But he was the...
He was the warden.
Yeah.
Okay. So
I think that's great.
Yep.
I
just great.
Issue that. Okay.
Okay. Bills review.
Did everybody have a chance to go over the last month's bills?
Yeah.
Any questions on them?
No.
Okay. Okay. Contract review, none. Old business, the 2026 tentative budget review. Cassandra.
Okay. I'm going to have Caleb do Haley put it up on the screen for anyone that needs to see it up there. You should also have it on your tablets as well.
Okay, good.
So I'm just going to go over the tentative budget for 2026. We right now have a proposed, it's about a 12% decrease right now in our budget. A lot of that is because the amounts of the grants are dropping with the federal shutdown and everything going on. We are increasing our wildland cost recovery. Right now, Chief, I updated that last night. It's up at, currently we're at 410. So we are anticipating that we're going to do a little bit more next year. So we've budgeted about 682 for wildland cost recovery. Under other revenue with lease agreements, I have spoken with Chief Nunn, and we are proposing to increase the rent at the Lake Point and Erta fire stations for the cities that are currently using those. I did an analysis of the building costs for the last couple of years, and the building costs have gone up about 40% in Lake Point. A little less than that in Erta, but so I was proposing going from $400 a month to $550 a month. That would make that would compensate for some of the costs. That would be $6,600 a year for each city instead of $4,800. So you know, let me know what your thoughts are on that. If it gets approved, it'll be approved in the final budget, and then we will let the cities know. It won't go into effect until their July 1st renewal, because they've already prepaid for the beginning half of next year, because they're on a fiscal cycle. So think about that.
Some of that also comes out of the idea that, you know, we were doing rent because we figured they would start building their own city hall or some sort of, but that hasn't happened in either city, so.
It'll be a minute, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's a good idea.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, so I'll keep that in, and it will be in the final proposal in December in the budget, and then we can make the notices for them, so. Other than that, the revenue isn't changing much, but like I said, it we will be proposing about a 12% decrease from current budget. Okay. On the expenses, if you go to the next page, I do have them grouped in our priorities again. We've got personnel, fire prevention, wildland, ambulance, apparatus, buildings maintenance, and mental health. So. With the 2025 budget, things are a little skewed because at the beginning of the year when we did the budget, all the firefighters and everything were under personnel. We have since then moved them all to fire prevention, so that's why the numbers look a little skewed for, you know, beginning and end of 2025, but I wanted to put them where they needed to be. So we are, the numbers that you see are based off of current wages with a 3.5% increase for cost of living adjustment and our standard, our COLA and our step increase. So that in the $1,047,000 is built into that. And that's going to be for all wages in all the categories. Okay. Insurance, I budgeted about 15% increase. Because we've been told that they are going up a lot. So I've got that written in there. Some of the high ones you might see, recruitment and retention, 116, that is from some of the grants that we already have.
Oh, yeah.
And Kim is working out on the details on those, on what the expenses were going to be, but right now they're all related to recruitment and retention. Let's see, tuition reimbursement, that also is part of a grant. We have several that are using it this year. We're going to keep encouraging people to use that. Down in fire prevention, again, you know, looking at the decrease, you know, there's a slight decrease in full-time firefighters, but that was just the budget that we had set. It wasn't an actual, you know, we didn't have full numbers yet. So The 1,079,000 is actually pretty accurate on our full-time firefighters right now. Part-time did go down a lot. We don't have a lot of pool in our part-time staff, so that is what that is right now. Volunteers, it's not a wage, but that covers expenses that we have for them, uniforms, anything else like that. So just to clarify that part on the volunteers. We've got training in there, fire prevention mitigation. Again, those are also through grants and state reimbursements. Structure PPE, I am taking that down in 2025. A lot of that was through several of our grants. I'm going to keep bringing grants up a lot because she's done so much work. We have so much coming in. So right now, $50,000 is about what we're looking at for next year. I am proposing, if you look at CIF transfer, right about the middle of the screen.
Yep.
CIF transfer, so for this year, we had already budgeted in $46,000, and that means it's a general fund transfer to the capital projects fund. So to start building that back up for 2026, I'm proposing a $50,000 because we need to get that fund built back up again. The other thing I'm going to propose is that instead of waiting till the end of the year to make the transfer and see where we're at, do it at the beginning and just get it done with so we don't get tempted to not do it.
Right.
Okay, so if you're okay with that, that's what we will do in January. Okay. Legal fees, professional fees, those are just kind of based on actuals. We are going to consider another tax anticipation note, so I do have that in. I've also got it coming in on the revenue side. You'll see the expenses slightly more because we have to pay the interest on it, but we are anticipating that again.
You yes. have election is 10,000. Do we have an election next year?
I will let Chief Nunn speak to that, but yes, we
Oh, that's probably later.
Yeah,
I remember. I know now.
For the bond.
Yep.
Okay, yes. I remember that.
I will let him give you the details on that. But so that $10,000 is an estimate.
Okay.
I honestly don't know how much it's going to cost for just a ballot item without personnel.
Yeah.
But that's.
I remember. Now I know what that's
okay.
for.
And thanks. I did forget to bring that up. Okay. On the next page, wildland. I still have our two seasonals in there. And then our deployment personnel, right now I am trying to separate out, even if it's our current personnel going out on deployment, I'm trying to move those into wildland expenses so that we have a true capture of what we're doing everywhere. Right now, we're at about $200,000 for personnel on wildland deployments. Again, we're expecting more deployments this year, or next year, we're gonna try to build it up a little bit more, so I increased that a little bit. Wild urban interface equipment, the 93 down to 50,000. The 93 was a grant we had for all of our skid mounts. We are still planning on getting more equipment from grants and stuff next year. Wildland fire training, you see it goes from 1,000 to 60. Chief, do you want to explain your conference that you want to do out there? Because that's where this comes from.
So as part of the four-year community wildfire defense grant, the last year of the grant, which we will be entering next year, we're expected to have a conference that brings in state officials, that brings in the public, you know, to talk about the wildland urban interface issues that Tooele County is going to be facing. The more we build, the more we encroach into the wildland urban interface. And you probably have started hearing about House Bill 48. So House Bill 48 is a fee-based structure, which is going to be working with people in the interface. And so I have a feeling that this next year is going to be a lot of talk about wildland urban interface. So at the end of the year, there's a conference planned. It comes out of Kim's grant money. And we're planning, at this moment, we're planning to have it out at the ranch in Rush Valley.
Royal Ranch.
Yeah, Hymas's ranch. So that's kind of where we're at, but that's where that is. That's why it increases to 60,000. that's how much.
Just ran the grant.
Yeah, yeah. I was going to say that. That is all grant again. Okay, thank you. Ambulance program. Knowing that we don't have an ambulance, we're still tracking our expenses to see, you know, what they potentially could be for right now. Anyway, you'll see EMS equipment 66 down to 5. The 66,000 this year was the outdoor recreation grant. Those were for response, so they went into the ambulance budget. And then dispatch fees, you can see, is going up from 17 to 65. That is for about 40 grand for the new dispatch program that you said they're renaming it?
No, not really.
Not officially? Okay,
yeah,
so it's called
officially.
Samantha. Out here, we're going to call it Regina. And then it also encompasses our normal annual dispatch fees. So that's why that is bumping up. The last section on this page is apparatus. Nothing is changing much other than personnel in apparatus and buildings and grounds. Right now, we are looking at trying to do a combination maybe of an apparatus building person to help with some things, make sure we get things dialed down, give the crews a little bit of relief so they're not spending all their days doing oil changes and whatnot. So that's just one of our proposals right now. We're still looking to see if that's going to be, if it's going to pan out. But right now we put it in the budget just so it was accounted for, okay? So that is in apparatus and buildings and grounds. I kind of have it split halfway between the two. There's not really, other than that, there's no changes to buildings and grounds. We did move equipment. Equipment used to be its own section. We moved it all into the appropriate sections instead. So most of it went to fire prevention. Some of it went to wildland. So I moved those around. Employee and mental health, you'll see a large increase on the employee health line. Again, that is another grant that we have. We have about $40,000 left in a grant, so we're going to see if we can take care of that next year. And then contribution to fund balance. So that is, we've talked about building our reserve account. So this year, right now, we've already moved about $10,500 over. It's basically all of our interest that we're collecting. I'm just moving it over. Next month, we'll propose in the final budget for 25 that we do another 10. And get that up to at least 20, and then next year start with 10. And again, to build. So we're trying to build our two funds back up, capital projects and our reserve fund. So that's what that line item is there. Okay. So ignore that 0.86 at the bottom. That's because all the 25 budget isn't complete, so that's why that has it there. But in general, it's about a 12% decrease for the general fund. Okay. Any questions? I went through that a little fast, but
that was great.
The general fund.
No, that was great.
Okay. On the next page, we've got the impact fees budget. This one is actually going to go up about 36%. A lot of it's due to our balance carry forward and our interest. We get a lot of interest actually in the treasurer's account that we keep it in. So we are proposing to do an impact fee study next year. So we put 30 grand in there for that, and capital outlay 200,000 potentially if we get any funding from CIB or anything like that. So that's just a potential right now, but we have to write it in just in case. So right now we're looking at going from 625 up to 852,445 in the impact fees. Any questions on that one? Okay. Last page, capital projects. So we are looking at about a 26% increase on this one, and a lot of that is due to the transfers that we want to make over from the general fund. The numbers look better than what they actually are because we have to account for the escrow that we currently have for the remodel upstairs. So those funds that are in escrow, we have to count in our budget, in our physical bank account right now, there's actually like 10 grand. So it's not 132. Okay, so just be aware of that. So when it says restricted cash escrow account, that's what that is. That's why it's bumping those numbers up there. And then as far as capital projects, we don't really have any expenses for next year proposed, because we want to, other than finishing off Stansbury projects that go in the escrow, because we want to build the rest of that fund up. Okay. Any questions on the budget so far?
Hey, Cass, yes. We collected 100% on our deployments, on our wildland deployments.
No.
Who owes us?
I was talking to Chief about that the other day. California is our big one on the EMAC. I sent a message to our state EMAC last week, and they said that California is in the final approval of park fire from last September and the Palisades fire from January of this year. And then the state is processing the last of our IROCs, and that's another 187 to still come in. So those are accounted for in the budget, but we haven't physically received the money yet. But I'm kind of keeping on them and making sure they get them in. So the state's been pretty good. They're usually pretty good about, you know, when I send it in, they start the processing, they get it reviewed. It takes about a month, but, you know, they send us a check for 100%. For the EMACs, we get 75% up front, and then, so it's that last 25% on each of them, on the California EMACs, that we're still waiting for. So it's about, I want to say, between the two of them, about 70 grand on those two. So.
Grant.
Okay.
Okay.
All right, and then there is a resolution in the action items tonight to approve the tentative budget. And then we also do need to set the date of the hearing when we approve the resolution. The hearing will be the same night as our board meeting next month.
17th.
The 17th, thank you. And we'll put it at 6:30 with the board meeting. And then we will also go over capital projects list at that time, and we will also review the 2025 final budget.
So the hearing will be first, public hearing, and then the meeting after.
Well, it'll be in the in the body of the meeting.
Okay,
yeah.
Okay, perfect.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you so much, and thanks for all your work on that. All right, next is progress of the CIB application and request to approve or deny a CIB loan.
Okay. I sent you all a memo as to kind of the details and the highlights of what happened. We met with the CIB, the Community Impact Board. It was probably the most stressful thing I've done since I got here. They certainly... I don't want to say they raked us over the coals, but they were definitely, it was stressful. We gave them all our information, we gave them what we would like, and they deliberated right in front of us, and they said they were going to shut us down like right now. Their first thing was, I motioned to deny their project, and they seconded it, and I'm like, oh wait, 2 seconds in. And then they pulled that back and said, okay, let's discuss this a little bit more. And in the end, they gave us the option. They wanted us to take something back to our board of directors, because I was very clear. I was like, I can't make any decisions in this room, you know, as to what we can accept and what we can't accept. And I said, so if you give us a recommendation, we take it back to our board. We discuss it a little bit as to, you know, what we can and can't afford, and then we'll let you know. And they were okay with that, but they did want to give us something to chew on, and other than nothing, you know, hey, go away. And we appreciated that from the fact that it was something to work with. However, in kind of discussions afterwards, we wanted to give you guys a moment to think about it, discuss it, and the thing I learned, one of the most important things is that they had the minutes. So I think Kim had sent the minutes from our August or July meeting, and we very briefly touched on the idea we were doing a CIB application, And they pulled those minutes up and had them on the screen and said, right here, you said you were applying for a grant. If you go for a loan, that's misrepresenting the public. And I'm like, wow. They, you know, it's like the minutes do matter. Mm-hmm. And so they were very, very clear on that. They said that if you go for something different than what you're applying for, you have to make sure it's in public meeting. You have to make sure that your board agrees with it. And I'm like, yeah, got that. We're right on it. And so they offered $3.5 million at 2.5% APR for 30 years to remodel Lake Point, and $1.5 million at 2.5% APR for 20 years to purchase the ladder truck. And so you just heard our budget. She's gone over that. At no point in time in there was there anything, any place to make a loan payment. But that doesn't mean that we can't pull down funding from other places and make that. That's where it comes to you guys to discuss and deliberate what would be your pleasure. We can pursue this, or we can let it lay.
What was the initial reason they were going to gun us down immediately? What was the problem?
He said you're not ready.
Well, also within their tool for what's top priority and what's lowest priority.
Well, we're not even close. Huh?
So yeah, but the thing that was brought up is that just before us, they gave Milford funding for water. And then it was also brought up, and that's how I started to pursue CIB, was that Heber got a fire station. So that was brought up, that even though we're not a top priority, that they have given funds, so is it really fair to, you know, not consider us with that? And then we also brought up, the thing I brought up is just all our I-80 and our rails. And how much, and especially Buck brought up the coal fire, and just how that when we do respond to some of these oil trucks or pipelines or rail cars, you know, it does impact us, and so we don't receive funding for that. So that's what we were bringing up.
To add what Kim was saying, I think that the initial onslaught, the reason that we got kicked to the curb so quickly was that Tooele County does not produce funds that goes into the CIA.
And we no longer have mines, and we're not mining the Great Salt Lake
any longer. And so because of that, then we can't have direct costs, even though we went through and showed that their rail trucks are currently on fire.
Yeah.
And we were able to speak to that and said, today, right now, you have two of your rail cars on fire that are coming from your coal plant. Showing them that we have direct costs, but they don't think we have direct costs because nothing comes from money. Mm, right. So that's why we got slammed right to the curb before, and why we had to bring up Heber and Milford and all these other that also are in the same boat that we are, that they aren't mining counties, but they're still incurring costs from these things that are coming through.
I'd like to see what other options we have. I don't want to. I would hate this. I don't want to saddle boards for 20 years.
Which, you know, that's our recommendation too. But I just wanted to make sure we gave it all. They didn't shut us down. They said one of the things they said, if we turn you away today, will you come back? Because I got the impression that when people are turned away because of the intimidation factor of this board,
right,
they don't ever come back. They're like, yeah, we're not going to do that again. And so I feel like we have a very strong team to go back and say, it's like, you know, this is what they said. This, we would like to, renegotiate and say, you know, this is what we applied for a grant for a reason, because we're not rich. We can't afford it. So, I think that that was our recommendation from our group, from leadership that went there. But that's not to say it was yours. So we wanted to make sure that you heard that.
Kim, do you have your hand up?
Well, I just I'd expressed to Chief that there may be another possibility where CMAQ kind of doesn't like the idea of a used. If we could talk to CMAQ and say we've talked to CIB, and that from CMAQ we can get 460, and if they would be willing to possibly do a different type of loan for the remainder to get a new one instead of a used one, and we could kind of see if we could combine that, because I've done that in previous jobs with
sure.
other grants before, mm-hmm. so we could try to pursue that, and they might like that idea too, is if we, you know, did a
yeah, it was our first, I mean, it was our first time.
It
yeah.
was our
yeah.
first
yeah.
time.
Yeah.
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 And that was also kind of one of his points. He's like, this is your first time, you're not ready. And I was like, it just seems really harsh.
Yeah.
Our gravel pits aren't considered mining.
Yes, they are.
They are,
they're
but
not,
they're not.
They're not.
They're
we don't get the royalties
nope.
like
yep.
off of federal ground or state land. If
oh.
the gravel pits were on state property,
correct.
Then we'd be
yeah,
getting royalties.
I don't know. Isn't Bo Linders on federal property, though?
Which one? They've had several.
Stansbury Island.
Which
yeah.
one?
Oh, okay.
yeah.
yeah. Yeah. And so they were just, you know,
so
very,
yeah.
very clear. They
on average, it's about $200,000 a year from Tooele County.
Yeah, if we still had Barrett going, MagCorp was still,
yeah.
we'd be in good shape there. But like I said, other than gravel pits, I don't think, well, potash, BLM. He gets the potash from, you know, Wendover, but
yeah.
other than that, I don't. We don't have a leg to stand on as far as that.
We're gonna keep trying.
Yeah. Ours is just the transportation through,
yeah.
and the respond to the
yeah.
transportation through.
Yep. Okay.
Good first round through.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's good experience, right?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Well, good job on your due diligence,
yep.
you guys. Especially getting smacked around in a meeting. I wasn't ready for that.
Yeah.
Right when I was about to read it, I turned off. I hate that. Okay, next is ISO discussion and public recognition of the rating.
This was, once again, memo related. Public protection classification remains at a 4, which is good for me. That we didn't fall. That was the biggest thing that I was like, I do not want to fall.
Yeah.
And as a reference, 2014, our grade was 60.3. And so in the past 10 years, it's come up 2.5 points. So now we're at a 63.8. So we just barely made the grade as an ISO 4 10 years ago, and now we're more into a grade.
What did they test us on this time?
What did they did not test us. It was
all
driven
paperwork?
On paperwork. Records, retention, paperwork. The fact we have an investigator, we have we're in the schools, we're able to point to. But as you kind of go down this list here, you know, our four things that are going to improve our rating: a ladder and an aerial, staffing, documentation, training, and inspections. And I've met with all the crews to explain all of this, what it means, and how it's important and what they can do on a daily basis to improve the rating. And that's documentation and training. So
great.
That's really, they kind of heard that. And then, like I said, as you go down through this and, you know, fire training programs, 21%, that's pretty low. We got to get better.
Yeah.
So had those discussions.
That's great. Okay, next is review of the updated information for the subdivision fire protective ordinance.
So I submitted an ordinance to you guys on the 328.
Yeah, we asked you to table it
and
get more information.
You guys asked us to table it. I'm going to request that you guys untable that ordinance. The reason being is you tabled it because you wanted it to be reviewed by our attorney,
mm-hmm.
And we have done that. She didn't. Our attorney didn't like it because it encroached into land use, and I understand. But some of the stuff we does affects land use, and so we really have to have this ordinance even though it affects land use. We sent alternate language to her to see if there was another way that we could do it. And again, she came back and said, well, this is still land use. And we said, we know we have to affect land use. During the public hearings that we held, there was no negative responses. Everyone was in favor of it. The only negative response that we received was not during the public hearing, but was made to the board directly by a representative of D.R. Horton.
Well, that's right.
Oh, that's right.
He was online.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
With the following information, it is my belief that D.R. Horton no longer is against this ordinance. And let me kind of give you a timeline of why I believe that. On 3/21, the Valley Meadow Estate subdivision was submitted to Erta City. On 3/28, I recommended to Riley Park to put in the fire hydrant system because of the anticipated ordinance. Alternatively, I provided him with a recommendation that a fire access road have turnarounds in the road. At that time, he accepted the recommendation to install fire hydrants at tank and a pump. On 4/9, I proposed the ordinance to the board. On 4/21, we held our public hearings. On 5/21, the comments by D.R. Horton, assumingly Ryan Garrett, that we needed to have the ordinance reviewed by the attorney. 5/21, the board tabled the ordinance. On 5/27, 6 days later, I removed the recommendation that the subdivision have the fire hydrants. On 5/30, 3 days later, Valley Meadows Estates was approved without the fire hydrants by Erta City. That subdivision is now in existence. If you go down Erta Way to 540 West, there's a road that kicks out. There is a road without fire hydrants. Since 5/30, Riley Park has sold that development to D.R. Horton. I had a conversation with Ryan Garrett of D.R. Horton regarding the adoption of the 2006 Wildland Urban Interface Code. D.R. Horton purchased Valley Meadows Estate subdivision from Riley Park. Not having the fire hydrants would now need to comply with the WUI standards, which includes they were hoping to have larger homes, over 5,000 square feet. And because of our ordinance, they were going to now have to have those homes sprinkled. Being larger homes, they were going to try to get them within 25 feet of the property line. Because of the WUI, they had to be 25 feet from the property line. Not a direct quote, but during that conversation, Ryan stated to me, I may have just made a $250,000 mistake in not putting those hydrants in. So the ordinance would have helped these people, would have helped the developer who spoke against it, would have even helped the developer who developed the lot. This is something that as the subdivisions come into our area, they need to be protected by fire hydrants. This ordinance allows us to enforce those hydrants to be put in. So I propose that you remove the ordinance from the table and have a vote.
Did the attorney still not approve our language?
So the attorney still doesn't like the language of that it being land use. However, again, whether it's a misunderstanding on her part, but we must have an effect on land use. We must be able to say this we must be able to say this subdivision needs fire hydrants.
So does she... Oh, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, so the language that you're proposing tonight is the same as it was?
Yes, sir.
Hasn't changed.
In the original.
And she still does not... Our attorney still does not like it.
Just in her initial...
We're not voting on it tonight.
We need a public hearing on it.
Yeah.
I believe the public hearing has already taken place.
We'd want
to probably need a second one, won't we, to open it back when we open it back up. Yeah. I'm all for it. Don't get me wrong, but you know what we want to avoid is what we've got over Lake Point. But although my friend lives and below you guys, you know we made it. You know, and he's always wanted to do 9 homes instead of 10 because our threshold was 10. He always wanted to do 9, and then come around and do another 9 and pretty soon we've got 50 houses over there without a hydrant in it. We can't get behind the 8-ball like that ever again.
And so what I had told Buck was that, you know, I think it's a better option to take our chances to have somebody push back against us rather than not have it in place.
So does she feel that there might be litigation against us?
No, there's going to be anyway, Steve.
It would be...
And what litigation would there be?
Well, obviously, if she doesn't feel comfortable with it, then she's thinking, if I don't feel comfortable, D.R. Horton's a big company, and if they wanted to sue us, they could.
So they could only sue us to enforce the minimum standard of code, which is what we're doing. That minimum standard of code is actually going to cost them more in the long run, and that would be on my the responsibility would be upon me to educate D.R. Horton to say, look, I understand you don't want to put fire hydrants in. It's only going to cost you $250,000, but you're going to save yourself $1 million in the long run. Mm-hmm. The same type of thing happened when we were talking about the new development at the Inland Port. The gentleman came to me and he says, I just want to do the bare minimum. What's that? And so we told him what the bare minimum was. And then I explained to him, you don't want to do the bare minimum. What you want is to create a park, and you're going to want to have gas stations and hotels, and you want to plan your infrastructure for that much. And working with him, he turned to his engineer and says, yeah, that's what we want to do. And sent him to do his tasks, and that's what they have, which will be the next thing I'm going to talk to you guys about.
Does she not have a recommendation of better language? Or like, I'm just concerned that our own attorney, does not like it. Which I like it, but to go against our attorney, that just seems odd to me.
I think it's because she's not a land use attorney. So
do we need to get a second opinion?
Maybe we need to get a second opinion.
Because like, that's my only thought.
What has Michelle said about this? What has the county attorney said?
I don't know.
Talking to Rochelle, I talked to the city, talked to Erta City, Lake Point City, and they didn't have any. When I talked to the attorney for Erta City, and he said that's your job. It doesn't affect us.
Okay.
And so, again, that goes back to that land use, right? We have to be able to do things like this, and their attorney doesn't want anything to do with it because the onerous is on us.
Mm-hmm. Well, for years, we're the de facto county planners down here in the north end.
Well, yeah. And to speak to that, the fire code is that blanket, right? It covers every aspect from electrical to roads to grading and...
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
How do I get my gurney in there and ADA it's that broad blanket that must encompass all of the other disciplines.
No, that makes sense.
Okay, good job.
Yeah, thanks, Buck.
Question towards this real quick. Hospital 48, what WUI code does county have to adopt by January 1st?
2006.
So
they already have.
Yeah.
They already have.
And I've been meeting with Kathleen and Lake Point has adopted Utah State Chapter 15A. They specifically have documentation to adopt that code from Utah State. Inside 15A has specific language to adopt IFC 2021 and 2006 Utah Wildland Interface. The only thing that I'll have to do is I need to work with Dan to create a map, and everyone should be okay.
Okay, let's
but
go.
That would affect that. Okay, sorry.
Let's go to your next item, the proposed fee schedule change.
Okay, so I propose that we amend the fee schedule to include a 30 cent per year service fee to 30 cents. Thank you. I did the same thing last time. A 30 cent per square foot.
That makes a difference. That makes a difference.
We're looking at each other like,
I was like, 30 cents.
Where's the measurements here?
Of all buildings, of all warehouses over 10,000 square feet. And this is specifically to help us with those large buildings that are going to come into these. If you guys take a road trip and you go off the Burmester Highway, there are roads in already for this industrial park that's going in. And now we're starting to get requests from a gas station is coming in. Pilot wants to build a gas station there. The next request I got in, I alluded to the fact that TNT Fireworks wants to put a 100,000 square foot building in there in close proximity to the gas station.
that's exciting. So is there a fee right now?
There is not a fee. Okay. There is not a service fee.
Okay.
And this would be an amendment that
to our current fee schedule.
To add a new fee.
So we're not increasing a fee, we're adding a fee.
We're adding a new fee.
Okay. And this is only for larger.
So anything over 10,000 square foot, a warehouse over 10,000 square foot. To continue with my thought, there's this new town going out there right now. It's being built. We don't have a station out there. It takes us 20 minutes to get out there. As that town develops, we're going to have old ladies stubbing their toes, and we're going to be out there 20 times a day. We need to start. We need to prepare to be out there 20 times a day, and this is going to help us offset those costs. Going through the numbers, if for example, TNT Fireworks at 100,000 square feet. 30 cents per year, 30,000 per year, 20 years is $1 million.
Where'd you get 30 cents from?
A million. I went backwards from that math, actually.
Okay.
So it's
$1 million over 20 years, or do you do 20
but
30
where,
years?
Where did you get the number at 30
cents?
What
I mean, like,
where'd
you get
25,
yeah,
or 10, or 15?
It's an arbitrary number. We're going to have to do some investigation on what other counties do.
Yeah.
But this is my baseline number that I'm going to go off of.
Okay. Yeah, I'd be interested to see what other people do. I think that's totally reasonable.
Yeah.
So we've just
except for rich people.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's an industrial park.
Industrial park.
So it's inland. Right.
Okay.
And so
we're going to have Grantsville
Corporation.
That's county.
Yeah.
Because
they have
money.
Yep. Well, they've got to be asked to be incorporated. They just can't go anywhere.
Like Walmart.
Well, they won't be annexed because it's inland port owned by
the
state.
The state's already taken Salt Lake City's authority from them over the portion where your duck club is. So the Salt Lake City gets zero tax base out of it.
Right. Yeah, we won't
either. So that's why we need to have a service fee.
For inside the properties.
Okay.
Thanks, Buck.
So one thing on that, to add it to our fee schedule, we do have to have a public hearing in order to add or increase a fee.
Sounds like we can have a combined.
Like to do that.
Next month.
As long as we can get, if you can get some history, that would be super helpful, because I'm sure someone's going to say, why are you saying 30? percent. We
had a...
only 30 cents.
Whoever gave us the fee schedule to begin with. I mean, yeah. Those are the types of things that we're
yeah.
in.
Yeah. That way we can look...
Just what does state law say? What are we charging for houses for residential right
so,
now? Because
so
it's fluctuated over the years.
Yeah. I'm gonna
impact?
Kim,
yes.
So I'm going to let Kim speak to that. It's for commercial buildings only, so
yeah.
it's not going to affect residential areas.
Yeah,
and state law.
Do they charge impact fees for like the Amazons and the Walmart?
So
and
it's not impact fee.
Yeah,
not
it's
impact.
A service fee.
A service fee. So do they charge fees there?
We still will.
We would have to look into what Unified does.
Yeah.
But there are areas that already, there are fire districts that already do impose
service
fees.
Good.
And I think that's what Mark's saying is, what do they charge? Do they charge 30 cents? Do they charge 15?
Yeah, because that'll help with when we just,
yeah.
with like evidence essentially
yeah,
when we want to bring this
yeah,
up.
Exactly.
I'm
yeah,
not sure I can find out.
Yeah.
So, and state law allows us as a fire entity to charge the service fee
yeah.
to the commercial buildings.
Yeah.
No,
so
it totally makes sense.
That law is already in place. We're not changing anything. We're just amending our fee schedule.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it totally
and
makes sense. If we can add like
number,
the
and that number needs to be a solid number.
I mean, you can easily add those numbers to add up quickly. Like we had to do the same thing for the state of why we wanted to increase certain fees, and we had to add how many people, how much of those people that salary is going to cost, and blah 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 all the. So if you can add general numbers to that, that's going to help with like people are going to see those numbers. Like this is why it's costing this much. This is why we went to this number. That'll be super easy. I think it'll be very easy.
Yeah. It may not be 30 cents. It may be more.
It may be
50.
More. So
yeah.
if you say.
Yeah,
so.
Okay.
Yeah, it's a great buck. Yeah, thank
it's
you.
It's just a baseline.
No, that's great.
Good job.
That's great buck. Good job.
Thank you. All right, new business. Request to pursue a 20-year, $30 million bond for the purpose of operational support and building a new building of new fire stations.
Once again, This is the big memo I sent, and lots to review, lots to think about.
Mm-hmm.
The reality comes down to a year from now. We've talked to John. He's on board. He understands the language and the importance. And so any public campaign is going to be driven by Kim and John. And the message has to be very, very clear, and it has to be able to be repeatable by firefighters and the officers. And so we have to have a script, but
no, sure.
we
that's
need
a pitch. We have
a
pitch.
Yes,
yeah.
exactly. That we're going for a 20-year, $30 million bond to break up into our stations. Put them into a specific station, an apparatus. So while these are very, very rough numbers, they would be dialed in significantly, and we would have specifics. So what we're asking for is for your permission to pursue. And it would mean that a year from now we'd be doing an election.
So this would be on the November 26th
ballot? 26th
ballot.
For funding in 2027. Or whenever we can put it together, which would probably be 2027. At some point in time during the year. It's a 12-month effort. Starts basically now. One of the comments that I have been already given is that the school system has already poisoned everything related to bond. You mentioned bond, school system.
We're still paying on bonds that when I bought my first house.
Yes.
So, yeah, this is a slippery slope there.
Yes. And so that's why we have to be very upfront with you, the public, and everybody needs to understand what we're doing and how the intent is. And the intent is to build the district. The intent is to have a message from your firefighters to say, if we don't have this, this is we're kind of stuck, and we can maintain, we can't grow.
If we look to see how bonds do in even number not presidential election years.
Oh.
Because
I
wonder.
Know how to do that.
Yeah, I think you need to go back and look at history. Because how does a bond do during those off years, or how does it do during an odd year when there's nothing else on the ballot?
Right.
So
the school district could always have it in a crazy month, so nobody'd show up. And the minority would back it.
They'd never know. Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I think our intent is to be very public, very, very open, and very clear about what we need. We have a scout group coming here a couple nights ago, and you know, one of the families or one of the dads was like, it's like, are you guys paid? You know,
yeah.
People still don't get that associated.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think we need to do it. I just don't know if, I don't know if
what
26, yeah, if 26 would be good or if 27 would be better, because there would be nothing else on the ballot.
So and that may be the you know, at least it's driving forward. So
yeah.
I guess what we're starting this conversation is to, you know, I don't even know how you would get that information for.
You'd have to do a little research.
I think you could ask the county, and
yeah.
They could tell you how many people vote in each year.
Okay.
What
maybe,
percentage?
Maybe chat GPT.
Well, where are we at this year? 17% countywide.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was that Stansberry or just
no,
county?
County.
That's even with the mayor election in Twilla and other stuff.
Just a, you know, just something to look at.
Okay.
So, but yeah, I'm for it.
Mm-hmm. So I guess that was, you know, with you getting all the information and understanding that, if we start moving that direction, if you guys are okay with that,
mm-hmm.
then we start. One of the things we have to do is we have to get a consultant on how to get a bond. And which we don't know how to do.
And seeing a consultant may say,
"Yeah, exactly.
Well, 26 will be a great year, or 27 will be better." So,
correct. And is that what you would call your guy, a consultant?
Yeah.
An attorney. Okay. And so we just wanted to make sure we're very upfront and public, because the first thing that you guys are going to be hit with is $30 million.
Raise my
taxes.
Yep, you're going to raise my taxes.
Well, and that's what I've put in here is like rather than a tax, it's a choice.
Right.
And if they say no,
we didn't cover the numbers yet.
Oh yeah,
we
missed an item.
Oh okay. That choice is very critical. Is that if they say no, if they vote no, okay. Well,
yep.
We know what they want.
I thought we did the ISO discussion.
Right now, we know they don't want taxes.
But maybe I'm thinking of something else.
So that's really what we wanted. Is there anything else that I need to...
No, we talked about it.
Yeah, remember you said we were rating 4?
Yeah.
We're at more before now?
Yeah.
Yeah, we talked about it. We're talking about the ISO discussion.
We're barely a 4. We're a solid 4 now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nope. Okay.
Now we're on the board.
Yep, now we're on the establishing the 2026 board meeting schedule.
Okay, so I have all the dates for 26 planned out. They're all the third Wednesday of the month, except for January is the
21st, but we'd go
28. That's the second week, the second
14th.
Wednesday. Because of winter fire school and everybody being gone.
Okay, perfect.
So other than that, they're all the third Wednesday of the month. The other one I need you to either schedule tonight or think about for next month is our board work session and when you want to do that.
We did that in March.
March.
We did it in February 1 year, March last year.
We did
so
on like
we
a Saturday
February
morning.
March,
yeah, I think February, March works great.
Yeah.
Okay.
We intend to have a continuity of operations plan by then.
Cool. Great.
Review.
Okay. Okay. Then let's, we're still thinking February, March then?
Yes.
Okay.
March is good.
All right. Let's go to scheduling and assignment of the 2025 fraud risk assessment.
On you guys.
Oh yeah, so I did that the last 2 years, I think. I'm happy to do it again, but if someone else want to do it, it's super easy.
I did it 2 years prior to that.
Sure, you want to do it?
Sure.
It's I can talk to you after.
Okay.
It's super easy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. That was easy.
You need it done before the end of the year.
Yeah, it takes.
Yeah.
Got
like 6 months.
Just so you know.
Oh, no, never mind.
By next week.
No, you're good. It's super.
By Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Okay. Public comment. Anybody? Yes.
I'm sorry to interject. I was texting. Sorry, Kathleen at Lake Point City about CBDG. No. So I guess they're talking about it tonight. I didn't know. Okay. Do we want to explain what we explained to Lake Point? Or do you want me to explain?
You right ahead. I'm...
Okay.
I didn't receive anything.
I know.
Saying
so
we were on the agenda.
Yeah, so we pursued CBDG last year, and we were above the level of being able to apply. We have spoken to Lake Point City because it is to benefit them that we are looking for a ladder chart. I'm trying to find any way to get a ladder chart. So... we were thinking if they could pursue it, I would hold their hand, help them out with it, help them apply for it, and then if they got the funding, if the surveys came back out, so she's presenting that tonight to them, that if they could apply for it, and then they could, like,
so that's a little something on the table.
Yeah, the truck be housed there. Like,
sure, sure.
So, you know, so anyway, because it does just benefit them having the Marriott.
Right.
It does, yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we're pursuing that.
So we'll learn more information here after their meeting, I guess.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And then on another note, which I was thinking, I will be pursuing tourism tax grant from the county, and that is at the beginning of the year. And I'm going to ask for upwards, did we agree, $600,000? Mm-hmm. So for response to IE.
Yeah.
And then I still would like to eventually start to approach also to be elected upon a tax, sales tax, because that can go towards EMS services. Mm-hmm. And I think Tooele County should impose one. Obviously, it would help all EMS, and obviously it is something that probably Mountain West could also go towards, but still, regardless, it is something that would help assist us with funding towards response to I-80, and I think that's something that we should possibly think about pursuing, because we could get that funding. So if we could get TRT funding, if we could get, you know, that tax in place, and then if we could still pursue trying to get recovery costs for responding to I-80 events, I think that would be...
No, I think that's very smart. I think Grand County did it recently, and there were, Andy was very successful. Yeah, so that might be helpful. Yeah, I think it's great.
I think the change of leadership in Tooele City Fire, Grantsville City Fire, we're going to start seeing them start pushing back for EMS again.
Mm. Okay.
So, yeah, it might be something. So, anyway, I just wanted to bring that up. That
that's great.
Still kind of marching forward with everything else.
That's great.
Excellent. Any other comment? Anybody online? No. Okay, next action items, Resolution 2025-19, adoption of the 2026 tentative budget.
I propose that we approve the resolution for the 2025-19 adoption for the 2026 tentative budget.
Can you state the date of the public hearing as well?
The date of the public hearing will be December 17th, 2025 at 6:30 p.m.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Next is Resolution 2025-20, recognition and adoption of the 2025 ISO rating.
I propose the we approve the 2025-20 recognition and adoption of the 2025 ISO rating.
I'll second it.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Next is the approval of the NTFD administration to pursue a 20-year, $30 million bond for the purpose of operational support and building new fire stations.
I propose that we approve the North Tooele Fire Department administration to pursue a 20-year, $30 million bond for the purpose of operations support and building a new fire stations.
I'll second it.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Next is the approval of the 2026 board meeting schedule.
I propose that we approve the 2026 board meeting schedule.
Okay.
I'll second it.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Do we have to put in a part about the
That doesn't need to go on the annual schedule, but I will add it to it.
Okay. Next is the board calendar, fraud risk assessment.
Yeah, so the fraud risk assessment, if we can get it done prior to the next board meeting, then I can put it on for
It'll be no problem.
And then the 17th, looks like we're going to have three public hearings that night now. We'll have the public hearing for the budget, the ordinance, and the fee schedule. So, and then...
district events?
For the schedule, second week in January, things like that. District events, we've got a Christmas party on the 12th here at the Stansbury Station. The next day, night, is the Santa run. And then in January, we have winter fair. So that's about all we have going on right now.
Okay.
Oh. Yeah, Kaylee wants to give you a brief about the Christmas party.
So I sent out invitations. If I can get RSVPs by December 5th, if you're coming or if you're not coming, just so I have an idea of what to tell our caterer. So we have a head count. I've gotten most of the board. I think I'm missing a couple of you guys. So if you guys can just let me know.
You bet. Okay, public concerns? No? Okay. Nah, do we have a we have a motion to adjourn?
I motion that we adjourn the meeting for November 19th, 2025. I don't know where that came from.
We do have a closed hearing tonight.
Yeah.
Okay. Closed session. Yep. So we do need a vote to go into a closed hearing.
Okay.
Or closed session.
All in favor.
Okay. Yeah, let's go. Let's go into a closed session, and then we'll adjourn after that.
We need to have a vote to go into a closed session.
Yeah. So do we have a motion to go into a closed session?
Yeah. I motion that we go into a closed session to discuss character, professional competency, and physical or mental health of an individual.
Okay. Do we have a second?
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. We will go into our closed session at
1946.
Thanks, Buck. That was great.